turn to hymn number 468. I will sing the wondrous story. We'll sing the first, second, and fifth verses. Hymn number 468 as we stand and sing. Sing the wondrous story. I'm glad it didn't say you had to keep a note, because you can still sing and you might sing badly. He didn't say that. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's all right. He likes it.
Amen.
He likes it. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for Brother Buddy. Brother Buddy, as you can tell, is conspicuously absent. We always miss Brother Buddy when he's not here. Sick and not feeling well. We need to pray for his health. And then let's pray for Miss Betty. Miss Betty, we haven't heard from her, but I'm sure her leg's giving her trouble. And so let's pray for her. Pray for the physical needs that she has. Any prayer requests, let's pray for Miss Faye. Miss Faye had to go to the emergency room this week with her knee, and she's having some trouble with that. And so let's pray for her. Anyone else in the congregation have prayer requests today? Anybody? Raise your hand.
My friend Linda, that has cancer, they're doing surgery on her face this week, and pray that from what they can tell hasn't affected her eye yet or her teeth. Pray that they don't find anything else for the brain.
Okay. So definitely pray for that. Anybody else out here? Choir? Unspoken request, raised hand. The Lord knows all about it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the blessings of the day. We want to come before you. We want to lift up the prayer requests that have been lifted out throughout the morning. Father, we do think of Brother Buddy and Miss Betty, and we pray, God, that you'll touch them and heal them. We miss them when they're not here. Thank you, Miss Faye, and the pain that she goes through with her knee. Pray your healing for her. Pray for these requests concerning cancer that have been lifted up, that Miss Teresa requested prayer concerning, and for these requests concerning Miss Beer's sister and other needs there, Father. We hold all these things before you, and then we have unspoken requests on every heart. We pray, God, that we may come together in the house of the Lord today, and that you may give us something to help us today. We know that this world's in bad shape. We know, Father, there's a spirit of Antichrist so strong and prevalent in this world, and especially right here in these United States. Father, we do pray. We pray for concerning our election coming up. God, we pray that you'll have mercy. Lord, I pray that you'd not give to us what we deserve, but we ask that you give us mercy. And I pray, God, that our nation is so close to a collapse. Father, if you don't intervene for us, Lord, then we are in bad shape. I think of the scripture that says that it rains upon the just and the unjust. And Father, I know that if there is judgment on America, Christians will have to suffer for the works of the unrighteous. And so I pray that you will help us, our Father, and I pray that you will help our nation to have a revival. Lord, that our nation would turn back to godly things, to moral standards, to biblical righteousness. Lord, I pray that you might see fit to grant that. I pray, God, that you'll bless our time together tonight, today, and pray that you'll bless and meet needs and give us a good service in the Lord, and pray that you'll visit with us. You said we're two or three gathered together in your name, that you're in the midst. Well, we've got that number covered, Lord, plus a few extra. And so we ask you to meet with us. Bless the choir. Bless Sister Teresa. She sings. Help me as I bring the Word of God. Make our hearts attentive to your Word. And help us to receive what thus saith the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for loving us. We magnify you and bless your name today, for we ask it in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Pray for the choir.
Thank you.
take our red book and turn to hymn number. Find that. 483, Oh How I Love Jesus. 483. We'll sing the first two verses. Choir will come down. We'll fellowship. Come back on number four. Let's stand. So let's let the ladies do the second verse, and then men, we're going to come back and help them on the chorus. So let's see how you ladies do. I want to hear that beautiful angelic choir singing, okay? All right, ladies, ready?
It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sin.
Let's see if we can do a little bit, okay? Give it your best. We're outnumbered. All right. You out there, you going to help me, Caleb? You going to help sing? You going to help me sing? Okay. All right, fellas, let's try that third verse, and ladies, come on the chorus and help us. Ready?
It tells me what my Father had in store for every day, and though I dread a darksome path, sunshine all the way.
Come on, ladies.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Now we'll take some time in fellowship.
I got all kinds of goodies tonight. I got the all kinds of goodies tonight. I got food in the house. I got some chicken. I'm going to go.
All right, how did you sing that? To me, he is so wonderful.
To me, he is so wonderful.
All right, let's sing that. Let's sing that verse, and let's say it the way Miss Teresa just sang it. To me, he is so wonderful. Okay. All right, let's try that.
Tales of one so loving heart and feel deep is love.
Let's
try that again. I thought that was
over.
On the chorus.
Now
that is the chorus. I started the verse that way. All right, so we're going to go Tales of One. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go.
It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who any sorrow bears apart and none can bear below.
To me, he is so wonderful.
To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful.
Love him, say amen real loud.
Amen.
All right, thank you. We'll let you be seated. Well, I was only gone one Sunday, but I tell you what, that's a nice piece of money over in that jug, amen. So that's good. Maybe I'll be gone more often, I tell you. That's all right. That's all right. I want to say before we get ready to take up the jug offering, and you get your offering ready if you've got one, we appreciate the prayers. We had a good revival meeting at Keeling Baptist, and I appreciate so much our choir came and sang on Sunday night, and got a lot of good responses from the folks. They enjoyed you folks coming, and I appreciate you coming and supporting the meeting and praying for it and singing, and you did a good job. And thank all of you for coming to the Keeling Baptist Church. We had a good revival. All right. Are we ready to give today? We're a Baptist church. We all too should, huh? All right. Let's get the jug down here.
We need some young people to help us, don't we? How many young people will help us? Let's move the jug down here. Yes, sir. All right. We got money. Lift it up. All right. Just pray for us.
All right.
pray for Mrs. Teresa. She sings for us.
John tells of a city that he saw coming down, where no sorrow or death will be known. That someday we could go there through God's marvelous grace, forever live in that heavenly home. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gathered all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home. Well, sometimes when I'm burdened and my cross gets hard to bear, and oh Satan, he tries to dim my view, then I look up to Jesus, He is standing close by, and once again His great light shines through. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gathered all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gathered all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home.
Amen. All right. Thank you, sister. Appreciate that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis, the 21st chapter, Genesis 21. Continue to pray for our radio ministry. We thank the Lord for what Brother Julius, Brother Bill are doing. I took some time and listened to it this past week, and I'll be honest with you, I think it's a very sharp setup. I think they've done a good job on it. I tell you, it makes me want to get a building and have a regular radio station. It's not an internet. They've done such an outstanding job with that. I appreciate that. Hard work that these men have done, those of you that have helped, I appreciate that so much. I pray as people are listening even to our program right now, that the Lord will bless and people will be helped for eternity through the Word of God. So, praise the Lord for that. Genesis chapter 21, we saw 2 weeks ago the birth of Isaac. Now, sometimes people, how do I put this? Some people hold things back, and then when the time's right, they let her go. And that's what's going on here. Because Sarah has bided her time. Now Sarah's going to speak. And we're going to see what happens. We're going to begin with verse number 9. And it says, "And Sarah saw the sons of Hagar the Egyptian. which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Now, don't miss something. You know what the name Isaac means. If you don't, in your Bible, you might want to mark down that Isaac means laughter. You remember that both Abraham and Sarah laughed in disbelief over the fact that they would bear children in their old age. But God turned that around. We'll talk about that a little bit this morning. So laughter is very important. Well, mocking is a form of laughter. It's a cynical laugh. Some people go, well, ha, 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 ha. You know, they'll do that kind of thing. That's laughter, but it's a mocking laughter. And so I'm sure for quite some time there has been some mocking that's taken place, because I'm sure that Hagar has looked at Sarah with a look of disdain, as if to say, I could have a child and you can't. And she probably possessed this air of superiority. And sometimes I fear that people do play that game. She played that game. But there's a time where you better quit playing a game like that. And she played it too long. Verse 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, she referring to Sarah, said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. That's a bold statement. Cast out. Cast her out. Get rid of them both. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir, which with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Because don't forget, all this time he has had a son. Okay? It's not the promised son, but he's got a son. And I'm sure he's built a relationship with Ishmael. So he's very grieved there in verse 11. Verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes too, but it's okay, because God is in his own way going to take care of Ishmael. We'll talk a little, make a comment about that in a few minutes also. Verse 13, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, I, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. God heard the voice of the lad. The angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, said unto her, what aileth thee? Hagar, fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went, filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink, and God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Now, if you would please hold your place there, then I want you to go with me to Galatians, the 4th chapter. And Galatians chapter 4 will basically tell you what's going on here. Okay? Because I want to show you some things, but we have to read Galatians 4. This isn't going to make a lot of sense. We're going to read beginning with verse number 19. Verse 19, Galatians chapter 4. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, this is verse 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. Now that's very important. ye that desire to be under the law. Now, I preached through the book of Galatians, I don't know, about a year ago, maybe on Sunday night. So we've already been through this, and some of you may have taken notes on this. But he says that, he said, there in verse 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? Why do you want to be under the law? There are plenty of people, they want to be under the law. Seventh-day Adventism's under the law, whether you realize it or not. And I'm not going to be ugly here, and I know that there are people on the radio listening, but I got to call it what I call it. It's the truth. Seventh-day Adventism is not a denomination as you and I understand denominations. I can fellowship with people as long as they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the virgin birth, the inspiration of Scripture, on down the line. But please do not misunderstand, and I'm not trying to be rude, but I am telling you the truth, that Seventh-day Adventism is just as much a cult as Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. Okay? Because what Seventh-day Adventism seeks to do is put you back under the law. That's why Seventh-day Adventism churches meet on Saturdays, because Saturday is the Sabbath day. We are not told to worship God on the Sabbath day. The Jews were told that. We're told to worship God on the Lord's Day. That's today, first day of the week. Okay. So he says to these that seek to be under the law, why do you want to do that? Verse 22, for it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? Now, if you don't know what an allegory, some of you maybe remember that from your days of studying English. An allegory is a story called alongside of to teach a real story or the meaning of a story. That's an allegory. They're side by side, and they teach. And the story of Ishmael and Isaac teach a very important lesson. And this is an allegory, something that's called beside one story that helps to illustrate the truth of another story. That's an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar. Notice that Agar, in the Old Testament, the H, there is no H in the Old Testament Hebrew language. You have an accent mark, and the accent mark gives you the sound. And so if you take the word Hagar and spell it in New Testament Greek, there's no H, because they don't have the same type of accent there. Okay, so don't misunderstand and think there's a mistake here. There's not. It's simply a linguistical difference between two languages. Still the same woman. Verse 25, for this Agar or Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is the bondage to her children. But Jerusalem, verse 26, which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, we'll stop reading there and see if we can put some of this together. I just want to show you, if I can, please, three simple thoughts here that I hope will bless you and encourage you. It does me when I look at them. All right? Now, let's look at the realities of the... We have two sons. Okay? Sarai said, when her name was Sarai, remember that Sarai's name, Sarai, means contentious. And when she was going through the frustration of what she went through, here she was hearing all this talk about having a child. And here she is, and her age is against her. And she doesn't understand. Now, also remember that it isn't until just before she actually bears this child that an angel of God actually comes to her and tells her what's going on. Prior to that, it's all secondhand knowledge to her. And so she's listening to what Abram at that time is saying. So she's very much in frustration. And so she knows, well, the only way I'm going to have a child is I'm going to take matters into my own hands. So she sees Hagar one day, and she says, as we remember in the Scriptures, that she says to Abraham, she said, you go take her to yourself. I'm not able physically to bear a child. But she is. So you will have a child. You will have a child for this young thing over here. And everything will be all right. This prophecy that you talk about will be fulfilled. But watch out when you take things in your own hands. Always destruction. We read in the Bible that the Bible tells us not to run ahead of God.
I'm told in the Bible to wait patiently upon the Lord. I hate that confession. Because I'm not patient. Tribulation. Working. Patient. You say, preacher, it gets tough for me. Things get awful hard around my house. Then I want to know, why are you impatient about something? Because you must be impatient, because God is teaching you patience through tribulation. You ever think about that? You ever think why you have this load of temptation, you have this load of stress, you have this load of problems? What's God, why is God allowing? Maybe God's teaching you patience through tribulation for something that maybe you're struggling with now or will struggle down the road. So she takes matters into her own hands. Now, did God take his own sweet time? I would say, in my understanding of the term, he did, because she's 90 and she is young. Don't you think she gave up a long time ago? I would think. But God's promises are never on a time schedule. That's hard for me because I like everything on a time schedule. We're geared up to time schedules. Okay? I've got to be at work at such and such a time. I've got to be here at such and such a time. I've got to do this at such a time. I've got a dentist appointment over here. I got, you know, we're always on the schedule. Get up at a certain time and go to bed at a certain time. Some of you probably, you may be the kind of person that when you have a day off, you say, I'm going to sleep in tomorrow, and you can't. Because it's just like, bam, your body's got that, what they call that indoor alarm. Inside alarm, I should say. And it's like, man, I could have slept late. You lay there, and you say, yeah, might as well get up. Some people don't have that problem. Some people. So we're on time schedules. And she says, my biological clock's over. So she takes everything into her own hands. And so with that in mind, there is a conception, there is a child, and then here comes that look we were talking about. The stain, the disrespect, the superiority. And she's basically saying, I had a child, you didn't, I'm better. Now, Sarah was the mom of the house. She was the matriarch, as we call her. So that's nothing that Hagar would ever say. Hagar would be putting her life in her own hands if she said that to Sarah. She didn't have to say that. She just gave her a look. Have you ever had anybody give you a look? Nobody can give you the look any better than you. I have an aunt. She used to, she had five boys. This is before churches did children's churches. She'd bring those boys into the church, and they'd all be in suit and ties. She'd have them march in, and they'd sit down. She'd sit on the end, and all five of them. And they would say this to this day. They would say, we do anything wrong. Mom. And they said, we didn't want the look. Because that look meant, I get you out of here, get you home, son. And it was. So you know what it means when people have the look. And she gave the look to Sarah. That's all it took. Her days were gone. Now, I want you to think about something. This is the first thing I want you to see about this story. Was there anything unusual about the birth of Hagar? As far as Ishmael is concerned? Answer is no. Ishmael represents the ordinary. But now, wait a minute. Let's look at the birth of Isaac. She's 90 years old. He's 100. Would you call that a miracle? Would you call it a miracle that at 90, the Bible said that, did you see that? If you read the passage that we preached on 2 weeks ago, she weaned. God had taken a 90-year-old body. May I be just a little bit graphic and say this shriveled up body that had passed its ability to bear children, much less bear milk. But God did something in her body because she, at 90 years of age, conceived a child and gave it. Now, let's look at the two columns. The birth of Isaac is a miracle. The birth of Ishmael is just an ordinary miracle. Do you know what, as I look at the life of a Christian, our lives as Christians are to be like the birth of Isaac. If I were to ask you to give a testimony this morning of a miraculous thing that God did for you this week, Brother Bill, will you pray, Brother Bill? Brother Bill's got a transmission problem. But you know what? God gave Brother Bill that car, and that car should not have lasted as long as it has. You've had it how long now? 2 years? How many miles? But how much is on that line? You know what that is? Have you had a major accident that's caused any life and limb to be endangered in your body from that? You know what that is? Miracle. You know why it's a miracle? Because God is watching after you. You imagine living an ordinary life without Jesus Christ in your life? Can you imagine what that must be like? Tragedy that has to be there, difficulty, strife, problems. Where do you go? I love the old song, "Where do I go but to the Lord?" That's part of the Christian life. The miracle of everyday life. Some of you can testify right now that maybe within the last week, God may have worked a miracle. I can say that. I can testify to that. I can testify that God sent a miracle to me this week in my mailbox. God sent a miracle. By the way, miracles do not have to be financial miracles. Sometimes we need financial miracles. But sometimes God gives us other miracles. Greatest miracle is what? When you got saved. It's the greatest miracle. Isn't it wonderful when you see people that you love or friends that you have been saved? It's a miracle. I picked up the phone, somebody's crying, you're saying, "What's going on?" You think of a tragedy, somebody said, "I got saved." And boy, you're just shouting because that was a miracle. Just a miracle. You needed something. You need some groceries. Somebody knocked on the door and said, "I don't know what, but you know, I need to give you this box of groceries." It's a miracle. God's in a miracle. You know one of the reasons God does things like that? Because we give testimonies. And when we give testimonies, unsaved people listen. Unsaved people who live ordinary lives like was represented in the birth of Ishmael, those people, those lost people, listen to what you're talking about and they just don't understand it. They have no concept that God has blessed you and given you something miraculous in your Christian life. Now, what are we talking about miraculous? I mean, miraculous doesn't have to be the parting of the Red Sea, but it's something to you that so got a hold of your heart. And for you, it's a miracle. God is in the miracle world. Is there anybody here that can testify by a raised hand that in your life there's been at least one miracle that God did in your life? Raise your hand. You notice I said one, didn't you? Because the truth be known, you probably had miracles this week and you may not have recognized. But you look at the life of Ishmael, there wasn't anything different about his birth. It's as common, natural as it can be. And it speaks of the life of a natural person that does not have God living in their lives. Or, I don't know how people without Jesus lives. I see people who are full of hatred. You know, the wonderful thing about Christians, God gives Christians the ability to love when you can't do it by yourself. There are some, you know, somebody said, and I think it's true really, somebody said, you don't have to like somebody, but you got to love them. And did you know God gives you the ability to do that? That's a miracle. There's some people right now you'd probably love to just take a hammer and bust them upside down. But you can't, because God has put a love in your heart for people, and you know that no matter what your flesh wants to do, your spirit will not allow you to do that. Because why? Miracle work of grace in your life. Miracle of love of God. And so we see the birth of one man, one baby, is a miraculous thing. And the Christian life, my friend, is a work of miracles. You know what? You know what I'd do if I was you? If you don't do this, I'd start tomorrow morning when you get up. Said, Lord, show me a miracle today. He will. You know the fact that you're alive is a miracle. Did you know the fact that you get your bills paid is a miracle? Did you know that you got food on the table? It's a miracle. You know, if your car doesn't give you too many trouble, brother, it's a miracle. Brother Bill, it's transmission. Let's pray with him. Let's pray with him. God will work all that out. Why? Because God is in the miracle-working business. And then when he comes back and he said, let me tell you, church, what God did. Guess what? We rejoice because it is a miracle. Let's pray for Brother Buddy. Brother Buddy, we know Brother Buddy has a battle with his health. But you know what? Let's pray God will touch him, heal him, and raise him up so he can be back in the house of God where he loves to be. Why? Because God works what? You say, I got a problem where I work, man. That thing about ready to blow up. Hey, pray about it. You know why? Because God works. As long as you got people, you got problems. I don't care where you are. I know at least three of you sitting right here that I know for a fact where you work. No, about four or five of you now to look at you. Where I've heard you tell stories of things that go on and there's conflict and problems where you work. Pray! God, work a miracle. It's part of Christian life. It's part of Christian walk. So we have one Ishmael who teaches us that the life without Christ is ordinary. But the life of Isaac, the birth of Isaac, is miraculous. And that's what second principle. I read to you in the book of Galatians that the birth of Ishmael speaks of the law. Then that must mean that the birth of Isaac represents grace. You say, well, how do you get that, preacher? I get that for this reason. It is according to the law of the human body that when you reach a certain age, when a woman reaches a certain age, she can't have children. That's a law. The law of the body. The law of the body says that the older you get, your body may hit a zenith in its life, a high point of health, virility, strength, but then after a while, things change. You start getting a few wrinkles, hair either turns gray or turns loose. Your shoulders may stoop a little more. You may start having aches and pains where you didn't know you had places. There was a day I know my wife, I know Miss Faye, I know Miss Teresa, maybe some of you have problems with your joints and your knees. And you're talking about them, but there was a day you could run all over the place. And I heard somebody say this earlier when the kids were coming and doing the. I heard somebody. And you know, if you watch kids do that long enough, you get tired watching. Why? Because the body, the law of the body, says there comes a time of deterioration. When you go to a nursing home, isn't it sad? I think it's, I've done nursing home ministry for years, but nursing home ministry is sad. Because you'll walk up and down those hallways and you'll see men and women sitting in a wheelchair and they're strapped in that wheelchair. And they're laying their head down and they begin to drool. And they don't know. They don't communicate. They don't talk. They're there in body. Somebody has to take care of them. Somebody has to feed them. Somebody has to clean up after them. Does that not remind you of a baby? And someone has said rightly that we in our lives may make a complete revolution or circle. That we came into this world with that kind of care, we'll go out of this world. If you're like me, I hate that to happen to me. But some people are that way, aren't they? I've seen one of the saddest things I've ever seen is to see an elderly person like that in a home. I've seen women hold doll babies. In their minds, they were 7 or 8 years old. I've seen some, their minds aren't right, and they'll say, "My daughter's coming to pick me up today." Then the nurse will say something like, "Chasing the dog." That's sad. The law of body. But you know something? Let's transfer that over. Let's look at grace. Here was a woman who physically, according to the law of the body, should not have borne a child. God gave her grace. And extended favor to this woman and to her husband and gave them a promise. That promise was a child who, by the way, his name is what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, if in this life only we have hope, we are all men what? Most. This is it. This is all there is to this life. There are people that woke up this morning and they have nothing to look forward to. I got news for you. They are miserable people. They think, well, I've got to figure out some way to be happy. So they get drunk, they shoot dope, they have all kinds of sexual affairs, and they think all of this is going to give them happiness. But it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. If they'd be honest, tell the truth, that have to agree to that. Grace. God gives us grace. God, what is grace? Grace is where God even sees fit to look at my direction. And you know, not only is grace something that takes place in our lives when we get saved, but it's also something that carries us through our time. You can call it abundant grace. You can call it abounding grace. You can call it saving grace. Call it amazing grace. You can use any adjective you want to, but the grace of God gave you. You know what gets you through the day every day is the grace of God. You know why you don't slap one of those co-workers? Grace of God. You know why you read that Bible and all of a sudden you got just, oh my, flow over. Miss Teresa, several times this week I've caught myself singing that song, testimony song. I've been singing. I was mowing the yard and just singing. I couldn't remember all of it, but I remember the large portion. I was mowing the grass, pushing the lawnmower, and I got to singing that song. I remember, and I just like, hallelujah. You experience grace on a lawnmower. The Lord's good. Grace every day. Grace. John Bunyan wrote a great book, Grace Abounding to Jesus. That's what happened in the life. That was grace exhibited to a young, to an old man, an old woman. You got grace.
God's given you new grace. Thank God. Let's take time to thank Him and praise Him and bless Him because of the grace that He's given to us. Well, we see law and grace. We see miracles and the things of the ordinary. Let me share with you one more thing and one more comparison and we're done.
In the birth of Ishmael, we just see pure old flesh. Because when Sarah said, "All right, I can't bear you a child. Go in unto my handmaid." By our standards, that's wrong. By our standards and what has now been taught to us by the Word of God, that's wrong. And do you know God sometimes let Christians do things that are wrong and just lets them just kind of just, okay, decided to make this decision. What were the results? Envy, strife, discord. Do you not agree with me? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I feel sorry for Abraham. He was caught betwixt two.
She represented just pure old flesh because what was done was in the flesh.
Result. Now that Isaac has been born, now that there is this solidifying of God's promise, now that there really is a physical presence to say, yes, God answers prayer, now Sarah speaks up and says, "All right, little girl, I got me a boy. You know what's going on with you? You're out of here." She looks, but the only problem is she doesn't do it directly. She goes to Abraham. And she's holding Abraham accountable for what she wanted done to begin with. Don't forget that. Sarah's the one who said, he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have gone in unto Hagar if she hadn't pressed him to do it, but then hold him accountable for it. She needed to do some repenting herself. But isn't it interesting that when she says that to Abraham, Abraham's very distressed because she's grown, he's grown attached, maybe not so much to Hagar, but to little Ishmael. But the angel of the Lord comes to him and says to him, said, "Fear not to do what Sarah your wife did. I will take that young man and I will build out of the village." Now, let's deal with that just for a second.
You go back, if you go study the Middle East right now, there are countries and nations in the Middle East that are the result of the life of Ishmael. I don't know how far you can trace it. You'd have to include the Arabs. I think you'd have to put maybe the Iranians in there, the Muslims. Brings a question, don't know if I got the answer, but I'll throw it out to you. Do you think that the reason that you have that strife going on in the Middle East between Israel and these tribes is because Abraham and Sarah stepped outside of God's will and God's purpose and God's promise?
You can't step out of God's will. You cannot step outside of God's word. You cannot step out of God's way and not receive some suffering. There are consequences to our actions. God's grace may forgive us, but there are still consequences to actions. A homosexual may get saved, and he may be eaten up with AIDS, but just because he gets saved does not mean the AIDS will go away. There are consequences to our actions.
And I wonder if the... Now, something else that if you study and listen to what some of these other groups say, they will testify, and they are right to a point.
They will say, yes, we are Abraham's seed also, and we are just as much a child as Israel is, and you study any of that, you'll find out that's what they say, and here's where they use their. But there's only one problem. God said, I will in mercy take it, make a great nation. But just because it's a great nation does not mean it's a positive great. Maybe a negative. Because the groups and the countries that I just represented talk about, they're anti-God. They may talk about the fact that there being a great Messiah, and they may talk about there being a Muhammad, and they may talk about it, relate all this to Abraham, but it does not mean they will relate it to Jesus Christ. Now, I haven't researched this, haven't had time, but we were coming to church this morning. My wife was reading on, as Brother Jewish likes to use the term, crackberry, and was talking about how that, I think, and some of you will have to correct me, you may have read this, I haven't, that Israel, I think, had launched a bomb or an attack on one of the nations, one of the numbering the nearby nations, and that America was not standing with Israel's decision. Not in America, I'm talking about the leadership. And I told her, I said, without reading the article, I said, if that's true. And if this continues, because from what I understand, our administration for America is not pro-Israel. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe with every fiber of my being, the only reason God's been so good to America is because, number one, we preach the gospel and we get out missions. And the second reason is we're good to Israel. One reason I believe we need to pray for God in just a few weeks. Can you believe it? It's not that long. And we're going to have election. Second Tuesday in November. We're going to have a chance to vote. I pray for God's mercy. I pray God will give us a different administration. And many reasons why. But one big reason is I do not want to see the wrath and judgment of God on us because we as a nation administratively turned to. We do, we're days. You talk about drought. You talk about pestilence. You talk about famine. We turn against Israel. It's all over but the singing. Now that's all represented under the flesh of Abraham. And let's go look at spirit under Christ. Spirit of God. Opposite of what we read in the Sunday school lesson today, the spirit warreth against the flesh and lusteth against the spirit. And that battle is always there. It's flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit. As I pointed out in the Sunday school hour, we were born in this body, but when you get saved, this body's always done what it wanted to do. Then when you got saved, guess what? The Spirit of God comes in and says to this flesh, you're not going to do that. And the flesh looks at the Spirit and says, hold on, big boy. I've been here a whole lot longer than you have, and I've done what I wanted to do. And I don't know who you think you are, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And if you don't like it, you can go back where you came from. But the Spirit of God that lives within you can't do that because He lives inside. Spirit of God. That's why, no doubt, the Lord said, do as Sarah has bid unto you. It's okay. Notice this statement. Put away the flesh. Put away what represents the flesh. Because indeed, in Isaac shall your seed be blessed. There's a lot of theology all in there, but I tried to give you three simple thoughts this morning about that great story. One represents the flesh, one represents the spirit. One represents the law, one represents grace. One represents a miracle, one represents the old, plain, ordinary, we always did it this way.
God put him away, said it's all right to do it, and took care of him, and raised up in grace and mercy a nation out of Ishmael. And what a powerful nation. No doubt about it. But let's not forget who's in control. The Lord's in control. He's in control. And I shared with you three positive things about Isaac. I want those things. I want to see the miracles of God. I want to experience the grace of God. And I want to live within the realm of the Spirit. I don't want to be under what? Bondage. That's exactly what Hagar's son represented, was bondage. But when you've been set free, what did the Bible say? The truth will make you free. I sure would love to live in freedom and not be in bondage. I don't like bondage. There are people all around you lost, and they act like they're happy, and they act like they're satisfied, and they act like everything's okay. But if you really had the chance to get in there and talk to them, and if they'd be open, they'd tell you, I'm in bondage. And I'm not happy. And I might drink. And I might party. And I might do drugs. And I may smoke marijuana. And I may have illicit sex. Why are you doing all that? Because I'm looking for something, because I'm in bondage, and I want happiness, and I want to be set free. But you know what? They have to be set free through, and that's Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the great principles we've seen today. Help us, Father, to understand. Thank God for the grace of God. Lord, we traded in the old flesh, and we got the grace of God, and thank God for it. Thank God that when we got that, we also had a life controlled in the Spirit and not in the things of this old body. Thank you, Lord, that we have a life in which we see day by day by day the good miracles of God. Oh, I thank you for the miracles. Thank you that we see the grace of God work in lives. Lord, help us not to want to go back to that old way. But help us, Lord, to just rest in Jesus. And if there's anybody here that's lost, I pray they'll come to know Jesus. And I pray if there's anybody struggling between flesh and spirit, they'll give it over to the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God have control in their lives over the things of this flesh. May we take spirit over flesh. May we take grace over law. May we take miracles over the ordinary. And I pray that you help us in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're not going to sing. My sister's going to play for us. We're going to stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you have a need, you'd like to come and pray, the altar's open. Stand and she plays. Thank you. bless you. And I'll ask Brother Bill and Brother Julius to come and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. First Sunday in September. Can you believe it's September? Amazing. Sharing with you some things. I've already shared with you a tentative schedule of things going on in the month of September. We're pretty much still, as far as I know, in that same vein, but we'll talk more about it. And if you weren't here one night, I think it was on Wednesday night, we're talking about things as far as the month of September. We've got a lot going on in September, and we'll let you know, kind of get you up to date. I've got to get some update myself. We had several men, I understand, from Thus Saith the Lord Baptist Church came here yesterday. I had a wedding we had to go to yesterday, so we could not meet, but Brother Bill and Brother Julius met. So I've got to have some time to sit and find out the results of that. Brother Buddy would have been here, but he was sick. Again, continue to pray for Brother Buddy, and so we'll let you know how things are going. But I understood only maybe a couple, three men would come, but how many think came yesterday? You know, 7 or 8? 5 or 6. So praise the Lord. We need some help. Christians ought to help one another, shouldn't we? Amen. Not always for a dollar bill. We should help one another. So I'll let you know how those things all are panning out. All right. Brother Julius, you need to see. Tonight we'll be back in the book of Acts, still on our theme of Pentecost is Pentecost. So keep that in mind, and we'll see you, Lord willing, at 5 o'clock this afternoon.